Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
Come on, we have a really special thing this morning. For those that you guys have been following along, we have a video that we've been working on now for a couple months. Some of our most cherished friends and family in our community have been sharing their stories with us. And they've been sharing their testimonies of what God has done in their life. And this morning, we're going to be airing for the first time the full testimonial video. And so we're excited to air that. And we're going to do that in probably 15 or 20 minutes. And so before we do that, though, and that's going to be really a huge part of our Easter message this morning. Before we do that, I want to share a little bit. If you guys have your Bibles, go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to share out of this just for a moment. You know, this Easter morning, we, as we do every year, we are celebrating that Jesus walked out of an empty tomb. And the soldiers found the tomb empty, and Jesus rose again on the third day. On Friday, we had an incredible Easter, or not Easter, I'm sorry, a Good Friday service, and we took communion together. We celebrated Passover, and we celebrated the death of Jesus. But we come this day, and on the third day, he rose again. And what we have to understand, and some, you know, one of the ways that you can say it is that Jesus's end was our beginning. And you know, I often think about, like, we have Good Friday and we have Easter Sunday, but I often, you know, think about, what about Silent Saturday? You know, I often, on the Saturday right before Easter, I'm always wondering what was going through the minds of the disciples and what was going on. And did the earth stand still? Did all the disciples and the thousands upon thousands that gathered and all of the prophets spoke that this was the Messiah, that the masses began to become aware that Jesus was the Son of God, and they were coming? And they were coming in droves, and they had just had this huge, Palm Sunday, you know, the palm waving their branches, Hosanna in the highest. They've invited him into the city. Jesus is at the pinnacle of his ministry, where people are recognizing this is the Lamb of God, this is our Messiah. And then Jesus dies. You know, and I always think about on Silent Saturday, when everyone is wondering, what was that all about? Why did everything that we thought come to an end? I often begin to just wonder in that moment how quickly people began to get hopeless and discouraged. You know, I think about how quickly the disciples went back to their jobs and their former lives. But what we have to understand is that Jesus's end was just the beginning. And every time someone turns to the Lord, their sin gets nailed to that cross with them, but the end of their old man is just the beginning of their new creation. And they as well, in that same salvation moment, when a heart turns to the Lord, they come walking out of that tomb as a new creation with new life, with resurrection hope and joy living inside of them. The Spirit of Jesus enters into your life, and you start a new beginning as a new creation with Jesus. Jesus came for us to bring that resurrection life. Remember when the disciples said to Jesus, they said, "Hey Jesus, Jesus, it's time for me to go." And they said, "How could you go? We're at the pinnacle. We're at the climax of the ministry. Things are just getting good." And Jesus said, "It's better for you that I go, because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." And Jesus knew that the end was only the beginning, that there was this distance between God and man. The covenant of his blood hadn't taken place yet. The new covenant wasn't in. They were still living in the old covenant reality. And in this moment, he's saying, "No, you don't understand. I have to go, because if I go, my blood will be shed. My body will become a sacrifice for you. My blood will become the blood of a new covenant. And I will take your sin over all the generations of the earth and all the wrath that is due your name. I will take it to the cross with me. But what you don't realize is, and I will be raised from the dead, and that resurrection life will come and will raise you as well. And you will be called no longer servant, but you'll be called friend, son and daughter. You will be adopted and live in a kingdom reality that's not yet available." And they didn't understand that they were actually living in the lesser glory and that Jesus had to go and be raised again so that they could live in the greater glory of the new covenant. And this is what we celebrate on Easter, is that Jesus' end became our beginning and that Jesus came to bring us resurrection life. It was for the purpose of resurrection that death took place. It was for resurrection that death had to take place. His death became a doorway to your resurrection. And what I want to get into this morning and what I want to present to us is that we were created with this incredible purpose and plan. You were created at the foundations of the earth. God knew you. He knew you by name. He created a unique personality, a unique person. He created a unique calling and purpose inside of you. And he set you aside for such a time as this. He gave you a unique personality and he placed a gift inside of you that the world would need right now in this hour. He set you aside for a moment in history to carry your gift to the world. You are a gift to the world. And that gift really comes alive through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You are a sign and a wonder because of Jesus who lives inside of you. And this morning, I want to talk about how sometimes our lives, even in the process of salvation, sometimes our lives emulate the process of resurrection. Sometimes it feels like everything around us is dying. Sometimes it feels like things are coming to an end, but it's only the beginning. Even now, you know, we months ago, I sat our team down and I heard the Lord say that Easter was going to be called "It's Never Over." That when Jesus is authoring the story, it's never over. And I had this whole message that God placed inside of me months ago before I even knew what COVID-19 was. You know, and here we are now. You know, we're going to have two services. We're going to invite our whole community and thousands are going to come out. And we were just like so ready because of what we felt like the Lord spoke to us to do. And now here we are sitting. You know, like I know that you're all feeling it. You know, you're feeling the weight and the reality of the time. You're feeling, you know, the pressure on every side. There's so many disappointments that are hitting on in life. And there's so many things where, man, the potential for millions, if not billions of people to walk out of the season feeling like things are coming to an end. There are small business owners that feel like things are dying. There are some of you that had hopes and dreams that were supposed to take place right now that you feel like are dying. There are things right now you're feeling squeezed on every side, and there are things that you're saying, maybe I have to lay that down. And what I want to tell you is that what always feels like the tomb of death actually becomes a womb of promise. That what feels like is death is actually a doorway to resurrection. And this is God's plan for your life, is to take things from the dust of impossibility and to create something incredible out of it. And what feels like it's just the end is only the beginning. And I'm praying this morning that you would be stirred and filled with faith that what if this season feels like a tomb, that this morning your eyes would be open to see that it's actually just a womb for God's promises to be fulfilled in your life. That this could actually be a moment where everything is turned on its head and the miraculous could break out because you are a gift, you are a sign and a wonder, and God is going to bring about his promises in your life even at moments that feel like it's over. I want to read in Hebrews 11:30 because I believe impossibility is the incubator of promise. I believe that moments that feel impossible are the very moment that God is authoring your story. You know, some of us love to watch movies, and we watch movies, we're like, how's the star gonna get out of the situation? There's no possible way, you know? And we watch these movies and we love it when something that we didn't even notice, something out of nowhere, a surprise, a shock, this distant person we didn't know actually turned around and came back and they saved the people, you know? We love these storylines. Where do you think Hollywood got it? That's not a creative new storyline, friends. That is the Jesus storyline. They got that one directly from the source. The creator of the heavens and the earth wrote the original story of impossible circumstances becoming entirely possible and becoming the moment of promise. And so I want to read to you, and you can read with me, Hebrews 11:30. And I'm going to read a portion because I feel like this brings so much revelation of how the kingdom works. And verse 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David, of Samuel and the prophets who through faith they subdued kingdoms, they worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Listen, let me read that again. It says that through faith they subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. The moment that feels like it's over, it says they quenched the violence of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown to the fire. It feels like it's over. It was just the beginning. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. It says, still others had trials of mockings, of scourgings, of chains, imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of these ones, even the world was not worthy. They wandered the deserts and the mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. For God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Chapter 12, verse 1, listen to this, this is where I'll end. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of sin which is so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is not only the author, but also the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand in the throne of God. He's saying, listen, look at this cloud of witnesses, all of their promises, all of their destinies, all the testimonies that you look back and encourages you and strengthens you. All of these stories and these moments of faith, all these promises were forged in the fires of impossibility. Every one of them found faith when everything seemed over, when everything seemed dead, everything seemed gone. It was in this moment that God actually brought resurrection life and forged their promises in this environment. He says, if you're going through something difficult, don't become overwhelmed. He says, look unto Jesus, who's not only the author, but he is the finisher of our faith. If he's writing the story, it's never over. Listen, you got to remind yourself of that. If he is authoring the story, it's never, ever over. That there is always a plan. There's always a purpose. And the God of impossibilities can break in at any moment and take literally out of the ashes of what feels like destruction, God can bring something incredible and beautiful out. This is who he is. This is what he does. I want to present to us that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And when Jesus is authoring the story, it's never over. The tomb in which Jesus was buried represents impossibility. But that tomb of impossibility became the womb of promise our destiny would be born from. There is no possible way that this persecuted, slain king would be able to roll that stone away, let alone be raised from the dead and appear to his disciples. The tomb in which he was buried represents impossibility. And I want to present to us this morning that what feels like the end is just the beginning. What feels impossible may be the very environment that incubates the gift of God in your life. Look at John chapter 12 with me really quick. I want to read one more verse and we're going to play that video in just a second. In John chapter 12, verse 23, Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces so much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in the world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Jesus says, unless the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it can't bring multiplication. And Jesus is speaking of his own life, in which he said, listen, no one can take my life. It says that later on. No one can take my life. In James, he says, in John 1, I believe, he says, no one can take my life. I willingly give it. And Jesus saying here in John chapter 12, he says, unless the seed dies, he's saying, unless I sow my life, many millions and billions of souls will not come into the kingdom. It is better for me that I lay my life down willingly, that he could take it back up again and that many could come in. Sometimes we experience resurrection life through the doorways of impossibility. Sometimes we feel like we're marching around the walls of Jericho. Sometimes we feel like it's too late or too far gone, like Abraham did in his old age. Sometimes it feels like we've lost the promise. We thought that something was the promise and we lost it. Sometimes, you know, it feels like nothing can go right. It feels like it's too late. Things are too far gone. But we look to Jesus. Even in those moments, we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we understand that with him, it is never impossible. If you have anything in your life that feels dead, hopeless, or too far gone, know this, that the impossibilities of that is a womb of promise. Some of you feel like you've done too much wrong. Some of us feel like too much has been done to us. We've made too many mistakes. But I want to present to you that there's never a mistake that is bigger than the cross of Jesus Christ and the resurrection that he lived for you. What he brought for you is always available, because if you feel like it's impossible, I'm telling you, then it's probably probable that God can break in through that moment. If I could have our AV team cue up that video, if you're listening to the words I'm saying, you're saying, I'm not so sure, you know, I don't know if you can really relate to my story. If you're feeling like maybe you're one of the ones that this doesn't work for, I want you to watch these stories and let it bring, it says the testimony of Jesus is of the spirit of prophecy. I want you to watch these. I watched this so many times yesterday and just wept over it at the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And if you need encouragement this morning, I want to encourage you. And here's what I want to say. Before we play this video, I want to warn everybody. We did not censor these testimonies. Some of these testimonies are hard, and some of them have some hard things in them. There are some things that are mentioned that are difficult. It's not graphic, but there are some things. If you're concerned about your kids watching this and hearing these testimonies, then I just want to warn you, there will be things in this that are of adult nature, not graphic, not detailed, but things that are mentioned of a hard, hard life. But be prepared. The stories are incredible. So before we play this, I want everyone to be aware of that. And let's go ahead and let's watch that now. And we're going to end with some worship together.